Oh, I started it and didn't even say anything.
LOL. Literally without a producer, we're inconsolable. Hi, everybody. We were supposed to do a countdown, and I guess we're just going to start this podcast now.
This is for Patreon. They don't need that. They don't need professionalism.
Yeah, this is for Patreon. I was actually going to say, right, this isn't even a main episode. Hi, everybody. You know, our producer quit, you know, in a big dramatic huff. She's decided that she just can't take us vaping on mic anymore, huh, Ashlyn?
Yeah, it's too much. It's
and you're too currently much. Suing us, so understandable that you can't work with us anymore.
$100 million for emotional damages.
Oh, we got that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got our. We have a $200 million retainer on lawsuits. For all the shit we say. So we got
dealing
you.
With Matt. Explain his aquarium to you. Definitely would cause emotional damages in any court of law. I'll tell you that. Guys, you might hear a new voice. That's Ashlyn, our producer, who's joining
Hello.
Us for this very special episode. Introduce yeah. yourself, usually, bitch.
Hi, I'm Ashlyn, producer extraordinaire. Yeah, I'm usually on mute, but I am just humming along in the background of all of these episodes, haunting them.
I mean, you're literally the Los mic Angeles. In our ear telling us, like, what you said was wrong, you spelled this incorrectly,
please,
you pronounced this
please
wrong.
Please pronounce like, things correctly, please.
The math isn't mathing correctly, like, 2 + 2 is not 5.
You heard it here on Eating for Free first that from directly from Ashlyn's mouth that we silence women. You know, we put Ashlyn on mute.
Women of color, black women during Black History Month.
Draft the notes up for us to get us canceled. I think that's like the next step in our journey for sure. I think
we need the engagement.
So. We do need the engagement. I mean, honestly, it would be a little bit iconic for us to like orchestrate a scandal that like inevitably gets us all canceled, and then we reveal it was a social experiment, like Timmy.
And then we sell it to the cut that's... for like $10,000. It's easy. We can make money off of it too.
Absolutely, the cut is okay. The right publication for that.
In the alternate universe where Timmy Thick exists and wasn't a Harvard social experiment, do you think he's doing well? Do you think she's doing well living not misgender Timmy Thick?
No comment.
No comment? Okay, fine. Whatever. You guys don't want to play along. So we're here today to talk about Magnolia Network chaos portal to hell bullshit once again.
It has consumed our entire lives. We're going to be on part like 12 before we know it. ESPN for Magnolia.
You know when YouTubers are like, I'm going to make a 4-hour video if I get 100,000 subscribers. And then they make the video and you can just see how soul crushing it is behind their eyes. Like every time they read off the script, I feel like that's us doing this. Like we promise we're going to do it. And then by like the 14th show, we're like, okay, this is causing too many therapy bills.
I just feel like I've been living with these people in my head for like a month and I've just been dying to excise this from my brain.
Yeah, Ashlyn has been spending some time watching some shows for us too. You know, there was so much to cover. I was like, once again, you know, the harm that we have caused women here on this podcast, being like, so we can't do this alone. You're going to need to watch stuff too with us.
Yeah, we got
to
share the pain.
Episode about
this
it.
This is your problem as well.
Psychic damage must be distributed equally.
Another thing for the cancel list. What shows we should say what shows you watch. Do you have that list in front of you?
Yeah. Oh man. So I watched 4 shows. Rental Redo, The Lost Kitchen, Mind for Design, and For the Love of Kitchens, because Joan and Matt wanted absolutely nothing to do with any kitchen content.
I know, we had chosen our shows and we're like, oh, Ashlyn, the rest that are left here might be good to use, and you were like,
it's all kitchen
related. It's all kitchens. Oh geez. So, you know, yeah, there is gonna be a lot of kitchen content, and I want to ask before we dive in, if you had to rate the least glamorous of the shows that you watched, which would it be? Because that's why people listen to this podcast. You know, they want to get their daily, you know, fill on what's glamorous, you know, obviously as the number one glamour podcast on the internet.
Well, least glamorous, I think technically, but I'll get into for other reasons, was technically Rental Redo. But I suspect racism there. and I'll get into that.
Of course.
But, yeah. And then, but I would say, I guess of the other three, probably Mind for Design was like the most kind of basic one. You know, yeah, it was just kind of like,
I read your notes about the Rental Redo. It really seems like, in your own words, she is fighting for her life.
They're setting her up to fail. For real.
You know what? Actually, let's start there because that's a good, I think, jumping off point for us. Can you kind of explain what your like just general overview of the shows that you watched and what you noticed was lacking from those shows?
And yeah. also, I want to ask, after hearing us spend literally 100,000 hours talking about Magnolia, what does it feel like to now finally be in the sauce? Like, is it worse than you expected or better?
I guess it's about what I expected. Maybe like a little worse. I don't know. Like, I would watch like whatever. What is it, like the home? Just regular, like, where House Hunters is, yeah, like, on, you know, TV. Like, I would watch that stuff, like, with my mom and everything. It's, like, that's, like, cute or whatever, but this is all just so, it's just, it's very much to sell shit.
Yeah.
And it's like
the Shopping Network, but also with HGTV tacked on top of it.
It's just, like, yeah, it's just, like, so much more irritating. I think.
I love how concise you are. This is why you're our producer. It's just irritating.
It is.
That's all that we need. That's literally it.
When I'm looking at my notes, I literally wrote one thing for Rental Redo in my notes was only one episode, ?Racism. Because, like you were saying, if you go and look at like the 50 other shows on Magnolia Network, I think there are two other Black people that I saw. One guy, I don't remember what show it was that he hosted, and then another woman, and I think she co-hosts it with someone else. And then there is Keanu Bowen of Rental Redo. But, like, it's the only show that I could see that only had one episode.
And how long was the episode, though? Was it 42 minutes, 20?
Yeah, let me look at it again. I think it was, like, it really was not very
If you don't
long.
Remember, it must have been under 30 minutes, because a lot of these shows, the ones on Magnolia that go up to 42, 48 minutes, are dreadful. Like, The Courage to Run, The Established Home, Homework. I was like, how is it taking this long? It could be a smooth 18 minutes easily.
Yeah, it was 24 minutes.
Oh, God.
I gotta just point something out that I found that I've been keeping from all of you, because what your notes were, you know, when I was reading over your notes for this, I was thinking about this as well. And, you know, obviously this spun out of HGTV. Obviously it took over DIY, but Fixer Upper was not a DIY show. It was an HGTV show. And like Chip and Joanna were like famously the like most HGTV people. And you'll never guess the name of this NPR article I found from 2011, like right in the grip of Obama's America. Are you ready for this? Can I hit you guys with this?
I don't know.
This is from Linda Holmes, and you can imagine what Linda Holmes looks like. And
Homework?
Her name, the opinion piece is titled, "If you're looking for a little diversity on television, try HGTV.
Wait.
Yes. I'm going to read this. I'm going to read this graph to you, the opening graph of this piece. And, you know, Linda, if you're out there listening and you have a different read on who you are, then please let us know. Cancel us on the internet. But by all appearances, this is a white woman writing this. So let's also just keep that in mind as well. If you're looking for a little diversity on television, try HGTV from Home and Garden Television, which features people of color as hosts and homeowners.
Nita considers an episode of House Hunters, for instance, that features a black couple where one was a tech consultant and one was a government nuclear inspector. The president of HGTV makes it clear that the diversity of participants, not only the homeowners, but the design professionals and other consultants, is entirely intentional and has resulted in an overall increase in its audience and an even bigger increase in its minority audiences. It's easy to write off inexpensive basic cable shows as largely time-swallowing placeholders, but according to some of the folks in this story, there can be big payoffs from remembering to make them a little more inclusive. And then cut to 10 years later, quote, where are all the black design personalities from Forbes.com? And so, like, you know, we can really see the, like...
Wait. Can you repeat the year that this article was written?
April 13th,
2011. Because...
It looks like it was
the
in...
Way,
it looks
like, the yeah, way it looks that like, that was reading sounded like, you know, when someone is like, look at this New York Times clip from, like, 1940 that's, like, super fucked up. Because it was like, she sounded bewildered. Well, like, oh my god, these black people are buying a house, which I, no. I know.
Yeah, she's really like, in shock, like in 2011. Like,
shock. She was really like, guys, I have discovered something. Like, there are black people on HGTV who work for the government and know
and
nuclear
own property.
Physics. Yeah, no, crazy things.
At least it still has the check mark of the couples having insane jobs no one can relate
yeah,
to.
Yeah, you know, it looks like it was an NPR broadcast that was transcribed, and so I will be listening to that NPR broadcast later because I really want to hear what her conclusion is. Like,
yeah, like what? So what is your point? Like, if you see a black couple buying a house on an HGTV show, does that mean that we
did
it?
Like, that's diversity.
This is just the beginning of identity politics. Like, they didn't really have the lexicon yet to even put a hot take somewhere in there.
Well, yeah, 2011 was the birth of so many mental illnesses that continue to plague the
We are like well into
landscape.
The Tea Party movement at this
yeah.
point. Yeah.
So wait, Ashlyn, what is Rental Redo even about?
Yeah, yeah.
No, there's only one episode. What even is the plot?
Like, literally, like, okay, that's why I was like, I can like see why it would be, I guess, the least glamorous of the shows that I watched, because it's specifically, you know, supposed to be targeted to people who live in rentals, but like still want to make their apartment feel like it's theirs and stuff. And she just like shows like little ways that you can like replace like faucets or fixtures and like add like, you know, temporary like wallpapers or like backsplashes and things to make your space look better. Like this one was specifically the episode was called Coastal Kitchen and Baths, so she was like doing this
kitchen
yeah a lot of kitchens
wait Coastal Kitchen and Bath, wait, were there like seashells in the kitchens? I'm sorry, every time I hear like a coastal
question.
Kitchen I hear
and,
like
a light baby blue
seashells,
wash
like a starfish.
I definitely like blacked out during different portions of watching all of these shows or just immediately forgot things, so I honestly don't really remember like seashells. I think it was more with like the color, you know, it was like greens and blues and such. Maybe there was like a wayward seashell somewhere.
Yeah, I know you're
a lost sand dollar.
Your lawyers both sent me the writers for both of you before you started recording that I was not to bring up seashells as San Diego escapees.
Oh,
you,
the trauma.
You personally requested not that seashells not get brought up on this
tiki
episode.
Themed bar, tiki themed bars and suburban
or like
homes
pool
with
area
seashells.
If you're fucking rich.
Oh my god, no. Absolutely awful. Every bathroom had like those
ocean.
White frame picture of a random beach or ocean. Yeah. And then like a bowl of seashells, some white pearl thing.
You know, it's
I
interesting.
I can just see it so vividly.
Though, yeah, I was going to say it's interesting that, you know, we're talking about the lack of diversity on the Magnolia Network, because I actually went through this designer's Instagram and it's like good stuff. Like it's not anything I would be like, huh.
Yeah.
You know, it's just very like modern and of the moment, right? It's not anything I would like turn my nose up at if I had to live in an apartment like this. But it is kind of, I think, interesting that
of one of the only two black women to have a show on this network. One of them hosts a budget design show for people who rent.
That only gets one episode.
Listen.
Yeah, that only has one episode.
Because, like, and then, like, on the show, like, because that's why it's, like, I kind of understand it, because it's supposed to be, like, oh, I could do this, you know? That's why it wouldn't be, like, super expensive things, because then it's, like, how am I supposed to do this in my own apartment? But it's just, like, you know, watching it and, like, she doesn't really have any kind of crew or anything, you know, like helping her. But like, you know, at one point, like her dad is like helping her and stuff. So, but that just like, when it's compared to the other shows, I'm just like, it feels unglamorous. Yeah.
Well,
like,
they usually do like have the whole family to employ.
They didn't even really give her like a story, you know, like,
oh, not even like a little, oh, I used to do this and now I turn like, my life around through design. Not even like that.
Like Grandma Mary's present. No Grandma Mary's.
No, she doesn't have anything like super dramatic. It just seems like, you know, she did design stuff, but like they don't really like focus on her a ton. And that's like, yeah, I went to her Instagram like while I was watching this because I was like, what's going on? And I went to that and saw that she was like, hey guys, make sure you stream the episode so that like we could potentially make this. More.
Oh, so embarrassing. Like, I felt so bad for her.
Why is she the only one having to like do a little dance to get more episodes?
Meanwhile, I'm watching The Established Home and this woman spends 42 minutes talking about her like sons, Dale, Dave, and Dan, all these ugly, stripped, like just white spaces with
generational
money, and they get somehow like two full seasons, 42 minutes an episode, 13 episodes. Like there's more content there than like the last season of Game of Thrones. I'm like, how are they able to do this? And it's so boring. It's so entertaining.
If y'all want to go support Keanu Bowen, who is the host of Rental Redo, you can go to East and Lane on Instagram if you want to see what we're looking at. But that's like kind of the thing that I think is really stark about all of this is that Magnolia, and I think we talk about this a lot in the more recent episodes, it's so self-indulgent of like white nuclear family life and living.
Like property like, owning, empire growing families.
Yeah, like the especially Homework, which is now back. So I feel like they're going to become main characters.
They literally canceled the show, canceled the two hosts, and then they're like, actually, not even been a month, they brought it back.
Yeah, Chip and Joanna Gaines were like, cancel culture has been defeated. We've defeated cancel culture and also anti-Mormon bias in America. No, but like homework, God, I hate that title so much, is like the most indulgent of this, right? Because they're like, we are just some people who have 11 children or like whatever the fuck. By the end of it, they will have 11 children, right? And so there's so many shows like that that I saw on the Magnolia Network where it was just like, here's my 47 children and my mom and my dad. And then half the episode is going to be me like making the food and like driving them to school. And then the other half is going to be me like walking through like $50 million mansions, what must have been. Or like Matt talked about the cabin. I was going to call it cabin chronicles.
It gave me cabin fever, mama. Like, did. I was sick after.
Yeah, like your cabin chronicles, right? Like these like ridiculous homes that you're like, so you're a software developer. Describe that. Tell me exactly what software.
And it's always their like third home with their like, and it's always something about building the wealth with their family. Like our children can now have this. It's like
exactly.
Such a common theme.
Yeah, I have only ever in my life lived in apartments. I've never lived in a house. So to me, like if you grew up in a house, you're rich. At least solidly middle class. Like to
you know
me,
what?
Like,
actually, I would say
what the hell.
Especially if you moved to a lot of houses, and I will say this for my family: like you definitely are in what is now I would describe the middle class, unless that you like have lived in that house like since I don't know whenever the fuck, and you have no money, but you just don't have a mortgage or whatever, and you just pay the property taxes. Like I'm sure there's one person out there who's gonna be like, actually, my family has no money, and we have a 30,000 square foot house and some shit. But like,
yeah, but like I
would say that's a good metric to go by. Especially if you've like, lived in a house for a long time. I think that's another metric of the middle class, right? Like the ability to like put roots down or whatever.
Or just sell your house for three times what you bought it for. It's never going to happen to us, that's for sure.
Yeah, I just could not grasp the concept of as a child of like, you could earn enough money to buy a house, like seeing how much houses cost. So I was like,
and yet the Magnolia Network makes you think that they're just growing on trees. Oh, yeah. And you can pluck whenever you want and you can choose it. And it can be like a dollar and you can turn into a $1 million property. And it's like, you watch these shows and you realize almost all of them are, it's just a nepotism kind of situation, or like, it's just family wealth. Like they just know somebody who can get them.
Yeah. Those job titles, let's be real.
Or that. Yeah. When their job title average salary is like 500,000 a year.
It's, and so on that note, it's kind of like when you see something like this, where from the sound of it, it's very bare bones. And now, you know, we can't attribute like the entire aesthetic of this show to the Magnolia Network, because we all know that there's like cast and crew that get brought in from outside production companies. I mean, usually it's a little different for streaming. Obviously, it gets a little bit different. But like, you know, there's like a lot of people who worked on this that were not like directly answering to the Magnolia Network. So I don't want to like say Chip and Joanna were like, this show is gonna look like this. But it definitely is very interesting that the show got kind of pigeonholed into a more, it sounds like, traditional kind of design format than what the Magnolia Network seems to be pushing, which is like family focused, like, you know, more hometown relatable design shows, right? That like are moving beyond just like the confines of like the HGTV network. And it's like cancer documentaries and like fitness renovation things, and then like this like,
yeah, it's turning into self-help
by the looks of it.
Yeah, they were like, oh, we should do something for the renter people, I guess, like, you know, to expand. But I don't think they have any idea like what to do with it. Yeah, because they are so focused on homeowners and like, you know, redoing entire homes. And then it's like you have restrictions within an apartment. But like, that's what I could see being interesting and like,
yeah,
cool about, you know, if they actually fucking cared.
There's TikToks who have way more content than anyone has ever produced on how to like do a lot with your rental or like how to get around certain things. Yeah, well, that's also able to do that.
That's also what I was gonna say, is like, it's kind of, it seems illogical to me that this wouldn't be like a huge show they were pushing if they were like a little bit savvier, because like apartment design TikTok is huge. I mean, there is people literally giving themselves lifelong illnesses because they are retiling their bathrooms into infinity. Like there is a huge market for this on the internet.
The whole aesthetic of the Magnolia Network is like 7 to 10 years behind. You know, like, oh, they would never do something like TikTok-ish. Like, it would be smart for them to do like some programming like that, but like
something more cutting edge.
Yeah, but it has a very distinctive look like across all the shows, even with like Rental Redo to an extent, you know, like it's not as high budget, but it just like they try to like force it in with that 2014 kind of look.
Making the most your innovative look thing like about a home.
The most innovative thing about the Magnolia Network is that it has a streaming app that doesn't work. I think that's the most modern thing about it.
Incredibly contemporary design.
Right up there with non-functioning
HBO Max and yes, Paramount absolutely. Plus
with like the worst apps on the internet.
So, Ashlyn, what other shows? There's three others here. Is Rental Redo the worst out of them all? Or is it like,
It's not bad. It was just kind of like, they just didn't give her very much, obviously. And so it was just, you know, it was fine. It was like, whatever. I guess, you know, some tips, but like, it's only 24 minutes. It's just the one, you know, like kitchen and a little bathroom
episode. Like,
exactly. You could definitely watch this on YouTube. Like, so I don't really have, you know, too much to go on with that, but I mean, where should I go next? I watched.
I'm looking at this Mind for Design.
Oh,
the image you have attached here is traumatizing.
Yeah, that's from the show, by the way. Like, not Instagram or anything. That's just like,
okay, it looks like an Instagram story.
Yeah, they made it look like it, and it's horrible. Even though this man's like almost 50, but yeah. So that one is like, it's like the most like HGTV show of the bunch, you know, just kind of like middle of the road. It's just like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like this guy who helps redesign like a room in the house, and he's very annoying.
That is such an like innovative him. Concept once again, like really cutting edge shit.
Like,
you've posted the, I guess, I don't even know what this is. I think it's like a Instagram story or something, and like our notes. Is this for Mind for Design?
No. Right? That's what I was saying is like, that's just a part in the episode where they make it look like he's like making an Instagram story. It's not from Instagram.
No, I was more so saying like, just looking at this photo of him, yeah. I'm immediately like, you are my enemy until the heat death of the universe. Like he was like born with like the exact set of characteristics that I immediately flagged for death. Like he's like literally, I'm like putting him on a national registry for like the worst guys. Like
it's like the first, like it's the opening of the episode, and they're like, it's like him and two other people like sitting outside, and he's like eating a cookie, and he's like, this is my first time eating a vegan
cookie.
Can I
has cookie? Like, it's very that.
He's like, this is my first time eating a vegan cookie. And it might be my last. And it's just like, what?
Oh my god, I hate this so much already.
So edgy.
Right? Oh my god. It's so like, that's like the first 20 seconds of the episode. And I was like, die.
Why is he eating a cookie? Why is he eating a vegan cookie? Like,
why am I? Is he redoing a bakery? Why is this what I'm being asked to do on this, like, this program?
This is just what the show, like, it says, interior designer Brian Patrick Flynn creates breathtaking spaces with an eclectic yet distinctive style. Along with his skilled design team, Brian tackles decorating projects on any budget or within any scope, all with a dash of humor.
Is there anything more...
There's nothing funny in this show.
No, I was going to say, is there anything more of a red flag than eclectic as a word used to describe a design style? It's eclectic.
I'm watching it, does this man, like, actually do anything? Because he has his design team, and then he
that does all the design work?
Yeah, he just, like, goes in and is like, like, I like these kind of colors. Like, do you like this? And, like, I'm thinking, like, you know, we make it look like this, but then he just goes and tells everyone else what to do, and then like goes to like someone who's going to be building, like he builds this like little play kitchen for like the toddler, and it's like cute or whatever, but it's like he just goes and, like,
women,
I'm thinking mustard yellow and maybe like this blue, and then the guy is like doing all of the design like on the computer and is like, what do you think of this? So he just is like, this looks good. Do that. And he gets the show.
Wow. Also, Winsey Ward for most first names as a name. Like, Brian.
Serial
Patrick
killer.
Flynn.
That's a serial
like,
killer.
That is a fake name. Like, that's Paul Hollywood right there. Like, what do you
if
mean?
If you have three names, you're a murderer.
Okay, I'm sorry. No, listen. There's only two kinds of guys with a name like Brian Patrick Flynn. You are either a serial killer or you are a star on SeanCody.com. Like, that is like the only avenues in life for you. And I guess, you know, Magnolia Network is the Sean Cody of heterosexuals. You know, it's like the
it's just as diverse, that's for sure.
Fix. You know, also about this, I will also say, it's like, again, with these aesthetics that the Magnolia Network is pushing, it's like, what exactly does this bring to the table of like the design universe, right? Because like with you call him the fourth property brother in your notes. That's what he looks like. He does.
Wait,
he's
there's a
the
third
one that went to clown school. Yes. They have the magicians, and then he's brother that
no. Actually, he went to film school, he says, in like the first minute of the show.
No. So,
activating
Ashlyn, in what world is film school not clown school? You and I can vote the test
to
this.
Yeah.
Clown school, the other clown school. No, so like, it's kind of like, I mean, with the Property Brothers, I don't, okay, I'm going to sound like a like a literal sociopath for saying this out loud. So both of you can please check me the minute it leaves my mouth. But like,
this is a safe space
with Chip and Joanna. Like, I understand that appeal, right? Like, I don't like it, but I can understand like how they're like witty banter and like kind of like fake reality TV show that Fixer Upper became. I can see how that was appealing to people. The Property Brothers, it's like they're twins. It's kind of like a sex thing, right? Like, it's like
anyone who doesn't say that is lying.
No, not like, not like they're
psychosexual thriller.
I mean, like, there's like the psychosexual thing of watching twins like be weird right. on a design show. Like, yeah. I get it. And so, like, with someone like Brian Patrick Flynn, it's like, is the only thing he has going for him that he doesn't like vegans and makes soy face on Instagram? Like, is that really the only things that he does going? Like, what
no,
is
guys,
Brian Patrick Flynn bringing to the table that he's he is getting multiple table, episode orders? Like, what
I'm looking
it?
At his Instagram right now, and oh, I don't know if no. you saw this, Ashlyn, or took notes on this, but the he has a article from 2018 that's still in his Instagram bio from Harper's Bazaar about him and his, I guess now husband, getting married on a glacier in Antarctica.
Okay, and wait.
In this article,
no,
he's playing on the team. He's a husband.
Yes, girl, he's on the team. Unfortunately,
oh gosh,
honestly,
now we have to claim him by proxy.
I did not even know that.
I'm then, literally like, gooped and gagged. These photos no. will
the,
shock
in
you.
In the faggot draft, he's not getting the pick. He's not getting the draft. He's just
these links will be
to.
In the Patreon description, by the way, just so people can follow along on this journey.
I have to admit, like, I immediately wanted nothing else to do with him.
You
so,
know
like,
what?
I
and that's fair. That's completely
about
fair. I wish
look
I didn't
you,
know this information.
Racing gay men on our podcast. You are contributing to the erasure of gay
she has the right
media.
At this point for what we did to her for
you know what
adventure.
I'm gonna have
I
to knock
totally just wanted like
lawsuit.
Say it in retrospect I had no idea he was gay so that Sean Cody joke was like really like can we just all just say it to myself like can we just be self-indulgent that I am truly a prophet, an innovator, a teacher, a speaker, a leader, a mentor, like
and they call it an we? Omen or like a demon's warning.
I'm a preacher, a teacher, a mentor. Okay, I want to look at his Instagram now. Brian Patrick
wow,
Flynn.
Wow.
I'm so sorry. It's like
I'm just scrolling through the Harper's Bazaar article.
No, the photo of them on the boat with like a tourist oh. approved, like just married in Antarctica thing is me. Yes.
What a glacier.
Die.
Like, it is the most
that's
like,
just upsetting. Glaciers are melting and we're like, nah, like
it's the most like
this
gay
is a tourist event
to get married in a velvet suit
Zara?
On a melting glacier. Like, come on now. Come on now. A velvet oh blazer, okay, with black slacks. Are you joking?
What's
oh,
Instagram
and his man
like?
Is a former fashion producer from TBS's Movie and a Makeover. So of course they're in the same biz.
Well, now we know how he got the TV show. Not to.
Oh, my Lord.
Wow. Also,
that's an expensive
why do
wedding.
These guys get a Harper's Bazaar?
Because they got married on a fucking glacier for no reason. Because
they probably spent like $30,000 just to do it.
Brian,
you know how expensive
is
it is to visit Antarctica, let alone actually get on there?
Okay, so he does the. He used to do HGTV Dream Home and Urban Oasis, which were like, they're like. Gift shows, you know, where you can like apply to a lottery to win a house that you can't afford the property taxes for. Like, oh boy. Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm in costume design for The Walking Dead. I mean, again, enemies.
I'm looking at like what I wrote down as I
just
was watching that
worse.
Episode, and like there was a quote that I wrote down from him that I was. Said something like, what I like most about teal is it rides this line between blue and green. And I was just like, for sure.
That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. Like,
teal really rides the line between blue
yeah,
and green.
Teal.
Like, come on, vamping. Yes. Come on,
okay.
vamping. Like,
and then like I just like when I was talking about like the job titles of people on these shows, like it's the same on like HGTV like House yeah. Hunters or whatever. I'm just like, how like, you know, this couple, they were a graphic designer and an entrepreneur, which is like my least favorite like job title.
Us, we're like podcast disruptors, entrepreneurs.
That doesn't tell me anything.
Anything. It's just literally placeholder text.
And this house is gigantic. I'm like, what exactly is it?
So is the projects on this show like high end? Is that
this? Yeah, this one was like, it's not like luxury, but okay. It's just like, it was just like a pretty big house. And so it was like they were redoing like a little family room for the kids to like,
I see,
do their homework and like eat snacks or something like
that. To conjure just the be a family of another Sean Cody serial killer with your name, homosexual, Neil Patrick Harris.
See the three names. That's exactly
it's
you're right.
The three
exactly.
names. Okay,
no,
so
like
three
we
name
know
syndrome.
It's true. It's an objective truth.
He's okay. not beating the allegations.
So he's not. So okay, this is what he's giving me. His aesthetic now that I've processed it on Instagram is like if Christian Fall Girl Autumn Girl got transported into Neil Patrick Harris's body and had to live as him for a day, like in Freaky Friday.
Please.
Like it's very that. It's very giving that. I don't know. That's all I have to contribute to this discussion.
My only question, Ashlyn, so yes. The first name of the episode is the 7:30 rule. Can you tell us what that is? Did they
yeah,
teach you anything?
It's not a 7:30
rule. I absolutely do not fucking remember what the 70-30 rule is.
I was thinking that was almost
point.
A film school thing. Like that's what I was like. Maybe the film school has to tie into it, but no, nothing. Not
I'm trying to
I can't
think,
even
is there something like
was.
That? Something about like not crossing the shot line?
Yeah,
like
yeah, you have to always go more than 30 degrees, right? Pulled together, y'all.
Like
you both went to film school.
180 line. Like,
oh, there is the 180.
So you don't like cut to like a weird angle, like especially like over the shoulder shots. But I don't think it was related to that. I think it was like something about like color or something like that. I truly do not remember. I'd hated this man so much. Like, I was just triggered the entire
that
time.
That was me
like,
writing the review of The Established Home. I literally wrote for like the first day, fuck this show. I was just okay. angry. Like, you get so mad at the banality of it. You're like, how did you get money? How did you get paid to do something
me.
So boring?
Moving away from Patrick Flynn, Neil Patrick Harris, I do want to touch on the For the Love of Kitchens because
yes.
there's a teaser that you gave me for this, which is that
I was
there
trying
is
to laugh
corn
at the screen
on
cap.
Pizza in this episode.
I was trying corn. Not to laugh at the screen cap you put on Ashley. Mommy, that's the Can I have a cheese and sweet corn?
Yeah, my one God. Of the quotes of this episode is "Mummy, can I have cheese and sweet corn?" And then they proceed to put corn on pizza, which is just
and it's
awful.
In this like really big kitchen. It looks
in
like.
A castle,
like a
right?
Colossal
you said it's
kitchen.
A castle.
It's a literal 11th century castle. yeah.
No wonder they talk like that, mummy
and
mummy.
Yes, yes, and the couple, their name is Frida and Javi.
They're not real. I'm not so real. I refuse.
And they are and like interior designers, and they have this like really like distinct like floral, like they work together. I'm pretty sure as interior designers, and were somehow able to purchase this 11th century castle, and they wanted them to redo the kitchen specifically. And this is like just early in the episode when it's just like introducing you to them or whatever. Just like here's a little slice of life clip of them living in the home in the kitchen that we're about to redo. And they're making little pizzas in their oven. And I don't know what the Brits are doing with the corn on the pizza. Like, I don't get it. I don't. And
is this
yeah.
a wood fire pizza oven, I assume?
Yeah, like they put it in like some kind of fancy oven because it's like a huge, it's a fucking castle kitchen. Like
it's like a hearth they're putting it in. Like
yeah. But yeah, so disgusting. Not a fan of corn on pizza, but like the design group like that does the kitchens and stuff, like I went to their website and they have like pretty nice stuff, I guess. Yeah. And it seems like the not hosts, But like the lead designers or whatever, like they really did kind of like build up their business from something small, and now it's pretty big. But
are you telling me you actually like them?
No, they're like very like, I think I described this episode, this show, as like taking a Xanax in a bathtub. Like, it's just like they have like very posh like accents. It's just like they're quiet and just like you just have this in the background and you're just like zoning out, you know? Like, it's not very exciting, this show.
When you focus a whole episode on the kitchen, it's like usually the kitchen's like one of three rooms they're doing on these shows.
You damned me to all of these kitchen episodes, so I don't have a lot to go off of except, yeah, like, but like the main thing that I am remembering from when I watched these episodes and I was doing my research was going to the website. I'm trying to see if I have the link to it. And looking at their staff across all of their offices.
Oh, yeah, you what's sent going us on this, with this? Oh, a week or two ago. Oh, yeah, this was bad.
D-E-V-O-L.
Devolved Kitchen?
No.
Sorry, that's literally what you said. What did you say? Is it called the Evolved Kitchen?
V-O-L. So Devol.
Oh.
Like, and it's all caps. But so I went to their website and I was just like clicking around. That's where I saw like the nice kitchen designs and stuff that they do. But I did scroll through their staff page and they have more deceased members of their staff on that page than people of color.
Wait, I'm scrolling through now and there's like, they fully have like 60 employee photos on this page. And you're telling me
it's
more
like
of them
a lot.
Are,
it's a
have
lot.
Literally
so it's
passed
not
away.
Like I'm looking at like five people.
It's no, there like, really are like across, 60 people on this page.
It's like people in New York and people in their offices in like the UK, like multiple offices, their design team, like all of these people. And then like, you know, rest in peace to these people. I mean them. No ill will, but they have like two in remembrance pages for like employees who passed away. Jesus. And like zero people of color.
There is like one man, I think, Abdul Maniar on the project management team. I think he might be the one non-white 30 something year old millennial almost. Like every one of these people look like they all graduate in the same year. Like they're all the exact same personality type and age. It's actually shocking. Also, like I would almost bet there's no one here above 45 either.
I swear, I'm not even joking to you. Like I swear Abdul must be new because I scrolled through this page. I remember talking with Joan because there's one lady like above him. And I was like, that was the only person that I saw that I was like, maybe like she might be like Middle Eastern, but I was like, there are like no visible black people on this page. And I was just like, so weirded out by that, I guess.
I literally, by the way, already got to Abdul's LinkedIn and found it. He has been there for 1 year and 7 months.
Oh my God.
So you were kind of right.
Just confirmed. I was like, we got to figure this one out here.
Wow, the director.
But you're right. Insane.
The directors, Paul, Robin, and Helen for like this Devol furniture, whatever bullshit. They all look like, okay, maybe this is too niche. Matt's never seen this show, but like they all look like they would be bosses at a corporate job on Peep Show. Like that's like what it's giving me. Like they all look like the middle manager of marketing on Peep Show.
I think that's just looking British. I think that's just looking
British. Can our British gangs chime in on it and let us know if this is just what British people look like?
That's accurate, but I think it's just because they look British.
You know,
and they do look very British.
Insane to have an entire business around kitchens and cooking and not have really any people of color whatsoever, not even a significant portion. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really insane to me.
Spooky ooky. Okay. Sorry, I literally, every time I think of that, I just hear Alyssa Edwards in my head. Ooky, spooky, kooky. I can't do it. So, Ashlyn, you watched this, and then you watched, I think, okay, my favorite, The Lost Kitchen. Can we talk about The Lost Kitchen?
This one, yeah, this one was like the most glamorous of the shows that I watched.
Women.
How did they lose the kitchen? Did they find it? Is that the season? Is that what it's about?
I think it's like, you know, Chef Aaron's like spiritual journey, like returning to Freedom, Maine, and where she grew up, and like, I don't know, like she, it seems like, you know, she had some personal struggles and stuff. And then
like she did the year off exploring the world, came back to like be new.
Well,
that kind of tea.
I think she had like, she wrote a book and stuff, like she got pregnant like in college, and I want to say she had like some kind of like addiction issues at some point, or something like that. So she did have like some kind of, they don't really like, they touch on like her being a single mom for a little bit and stuff, but yeah, like she went away to college and then like got pregnant and then moved back, and then it's like she starts this kind of like restaurant in her town of Freedom, Maine, population 711.
Oh my god.
And it's like only open part of the year, so it's like very exclusive, but it's like super farm to table because it's like on a farm basically, and they all work. It's like all ladies except one guy. They make like a note of that. But it was like maybe the most interesting of the shows too. Like they obviously care about this one.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Like they actually have a budget and taste and people who really care.
You like described the restaurant itself as like 2014 jangly folk rock Instagram cabin core, which is so specific and yet so immediately apparent to me looking at the website for freedommaine.com or freedom.com.
Or if you like look at, let me see if it's her Instagram or like if it's Erin French's Instagram. Yeah, I think it's just The Lost Kitchen. If you go to The Lost Kitchen Instagram, like, I think you'll see what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, I'm immediately seeing it now.
On the way immediately.
Things to do in Freedom, Maine, according to freedom.com.
I really want to talk about the URL. The URL is freedomme.org.
Mama, what?
And I think that's beautiful.
Pest time bombs predicted for summer 2021. Ticks and brown-tailed moths. Things to do. Hiking, recreation, good food, and fine dining. Kids activities. I love it. I wanna live in freedom right now.
But it's like, it's so sad because when I was watching this episode, and I was like looking up Freedom, Maine, mostly because I was like, spooky, like 700 people in New England.
Like, that's spooky, spooky.
You're catching on to how we operate here on this podcast.
Yeah. But I went to the like website because I was like, it must be, you know, not a lot to do in Freedom, Maine. And when I went to the website, it was still like 1990s era HTML. Like it has the same stuff on it because I'm looking at the screenshot that I took, and it has the pest time bombs predicted for summer 2021 on it.
I didn't even realize this website looks unreal.
Matt, how did you not immediately clock the GeoCities website like from a mile away?
And like it said the Freedom homepage was created in the mid-90s by Frances Walker and is still maintained on a volunteer basis by her.
Obsessed.
And it was like, they had like a link to a screenshot from like 1998, like a newspaper saying like, we have a website now. And like, so within, and I checked it like a couple days after I took the screenshot and they had updated it. And so
that's insane.
I just hope Miss Walker is doing well, and that like they just wanted to upgrade
her.
Or like Chip and Joanna came in at gunpoint and were like, you know, this needs to change.
Oh, the
now.
Magnolia marketing team was like, this oh, is wait. Not gonna fly. Like, let's get you a Squarespace membership.
You guys didn't read the article I sent you about how Chip jogged all the way there from Texas.
Shut up, you're lying.
Obviously I'm lying.
Please Jesus. Tell me you're lying.
Waco to freedom.
Waco to freedom run.
That literally could be the name of a new show. And I'd be like,
the
yeah,
Van
sure.
Gogh Ooh. Guy built them the van for it and everything. So
seeing this website that literally is exactly the same as it was in 1998 have like get vaccinated and like COVID-19 content actually makes me feel like, I don't know, like cross timeline mandala effect. Like,
oh no, this is like a temporal.
So much
it's extremely surreal.
It was. It looked way better before. Now it's just like, you know, a little Weebly site or whatever, little like Wix site.
Jeez, drag them, girl. Wix. Can we call the people at Wix for comment? Do you have any information on
we need
freedom?
The engagement, so call them.
Yeah, I'm gonna call them. I wish I'm gonna go back at one point. I'm gonna click all these links and see if we can find anything. So the premise of The Lost Kitchen is that this kitchen is only open like part of the year, right? Or like this restaurant is like
it's like the restaurant, yeah, the restaurant part there, because it's like obviously a super small town.
Yeah.
And yeah, and so they like operate kind of like, and they like work together with the other people who, you know, have farms and stuff there. Yeah. Like, yeah. So I think the restaurant is only open from like May to, they said October, but it was kind of weird. Like they said May to October, but it also like when I was looking stuff up, it seemed like maybe they go to the end of the year, like a little bit later. But for, I guess, most of like winter and like early spring and stuff, they're closed. And I want to say, yeah, in the episode, so yeah, it was really, it's like really hard to get a reservation. Obviously, you have to do it in advance. And they mentioned in the episode that in like 2018, I think they decided to do reservations by postcard. You had to send a postcard in, and then they did like, I think just like a random like lottery drawing. But like,
oh, I'd be irate.
They said in the episode that their little post office, they were threatening to like get rid of it, so that's partially where they got the idea
USPS
from.
USPS is
it.
Like, we can't do this anymore though.
But then like, because I remember saying that in the episode, and I was like, I guess, you know, that's like a cute little like small town story. But like when I googled it, I couldn't like find any other story that like mentioned that aspect.
What's interesting, I mean,
so I was like, are you just lying? Like, okay.
What a, like a Probably. Indictment of the American Post Office that, like, they don't get any funding in this little town. And so, like, a group of, like, rough and ready Portlandia sketch characters are like,
yeah.
Let's do a lottery for our French Laundry-esque, like, niche, insular, small town Maine restaurant that you can only get reservations at 4 months out of the year. And we're going to save the local post office with
save
this postcard
post
lottery.
Office.
Like, it is just woof. Like, ugh.
Honestly, it is gross, though. I mean, like, because I'm like, I don't know if this is even real because I can't see anything about, like, they yeah. were going to close down the Freedom Maine post office
well,
until
to be
this
fair,
little
this
lady, like, saved
people.
It.
How many of them are journalists, yeah. right? How many of them are, like, taking
sure,
notes
but I was
this?
Like, it's so gross that they would shut down the... Like, there's only, there's only 700 people in this town, but there are only 700 people in this town. I think they rely on some
yes.
mail. Like, what the hell?
I thought you were calling it gross that they did the postcard lottery, and I was like, we are coming out with a hot take here on eating for free. It is, this is disgusting. How dare you use
disgusting
the post office? How dare you use the mail service? Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, it's pretty much just, like, oh, and like the whole kitchen staff, except like one person that they make note of, they're all women. And so it's just like,
amazing.
You're so strong. You know, like, I think there's like some quote that I had.
Heart, passion, and a main
yes.
girl's work ethic.
There you go. That's
no.
the one in the, yeah.
Okay, like, but have y'all looked at the book she wrote called Finding Freedom?
There you go.
Feels just wrong.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Label your book anything to do with freedom. Like,
just also when you search "Finding Freedom," like if you just do plain Google search, even "Finding Freedom" book, the first thing that comes up is like Harry and Meghan, like how the
world. That's what I'm saying. Literally, it's bad SEO. Don't.
It's way the SEO girl. Like, it's way too off the mark. Like, but yeah. Look at her Goodreads reviews and. It's like whatever. It's just very self-helpy. I mean, like, I feel like that's true with a lot of Magnolia shows where it's like we hate it because it's like manufactured to be almost like innocent or like, I don't know. It's like the stories are always about hardship and going through things and turning around and now having like a successful business basically to show
for it.
Well,
it's like, Christian, like very evangelical.
Yeah. It kind of is like prosperity gospel almost where it's like, I went through shit, I prayed for better, and now I worked and I have it.
Exactly.
And anyone can do it.
It's like
the prosperity gospel.
How do we think that she was scouted for the Magnolia Network? Do we think Chip catcalled her in a New York park? Or do we think Joanna was really down and out and read her self-help book and was like, this lady knows what she's doing. We should get her on our TV shows. Like, how do you think she came to the Magnolia Network? Because it seems pretty niche. Like, it doesn't seem like, I mean, I guess she wrote a book, but Matt, is it like a big book? Like, is it like, it seemed like a lot of people reviewed it? Oh,
let me see.
Goodreads?
I'm on the Goodreads page reading reviews already.
Is it like a populated
304 pages. And it was published on April 6, 2021. So it's pretty recent.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's recent.
The show
is before, and a lot of the reviews are from people who have seen the show or
That's what I'm saying then. It seems like, and also they got the Magnolia Network in what, 2017, 2018 was when they were like in talks to get it, you know, up and running, and when they would probably have started pre-production on a lot of this. So like, I wonder how she found her way to the Magnolia Network, right? Like, it's very interesting.
You know what, honestly, in like the theme of everyone Twitter discovering what the word nepotism means, she probably literally just knows a person who knows a person at Magnolia. Like, I can't imagine if you work in these kind of spaces with this kind of like basically class level you're serving, like farm to table people who are willing to pay that much money and fly probably across America to use their postcard to get into this restaurant. They probably at this point are only a step or two removed away from people at Magnolia.
After we stop recording, I'll look and see if there's any like marriage boot camps in the area. You know, Chip and Joe stopped by while they were working on things after the third kid. Like, maybe one of their Christian mom retreats. Maybe. I'm just trying to think. I'm spitballing here. I'm out in the weeds.
Yeah. I mean, I was also, I had to look it up, and it's just like, I've read or seen enough Stephen King that like, I'm not going to go
ever go to Maine.
Freedom Maine. No. Maybe not Maine like entirely. Yeah. But especially not one with population 700.
Yeah.
No shade to the East Coast girls, but that is just far. Ridiculous. It's just too far. Like, you have to probably go through three different airports to get there. Like, that's just not going to happen.
Back when I was
for the girls who are driving upstate only.
No, back when I was like a wide-eyed college student, you know, and you're like, the whole world's my oyster. I can do whatever I want. I like took a camping trip with some friends, and it was like at the like part of the camping season where you just can't get camping reservations in California anywhere. So we went to this like down and out of the way, like drive-in campsite, like north of San Francisco, like up by Lagunitas, which is like where the beer is made, Lagunitas beer, blah, blah. And it's like one of those towns that has like 400 people, right? And I walk into the general store, and the first thing the guy says in the general store, there's like a spooky woman playing like large grand piano in this like dingy like corners. It's not like a corner store. It's like the market, right? Like the grocer.
Did it say general store?
Yes,
on it?
It literally said like it was like something general store. And it was like this man who must have been like 115 years old behind the counter. And, you know, we're all, it's like, what, 2016? So back then it was like booty shorts and like crop tops was like what we were wearing in college, right? Like, I think I had like, like a crop top on and like ripped jean shorts that like went up my asshole. And he just looks at me and he goes, "You're not from around here, are you?" Or something like to that effect. And I was just like, ugh! And I left.
Nope.
I think I only got marshmallows. I didn't even get what I came for because I was just so spooked by the experience of having like some old guy in a general store clock me. And I just never went back there ever again. And I also vowed, I was like, if I see that population teeter below 1,000, I am not stopping here for any reason whatsoever.
Like, you literally go camping in California, like an hour outside of a main city, and you will think you're in the boonies, like about to get.
Well, you are.
Like, and the people that were, yeah. And I remember I went camping last year while it was like right when California was like about to drop the mask mandate, but it was still weeks away. And like everywhere I went, this one camping town was like, all the people didn't give a fuck, like full parties, no masks, like all the Trump signs and like all the like red shirts and everything like that. And I was like, okay, that was quick. That was swift. Like we changed the whole game.
I mean, if you go far enough east in San Diego, you're hitting rodeos.
Oh, and, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
The beach cell, the beach cell rodeo dichotomy, the beach cell, the starfish on the wall to the rodeo, you know, divide in San Diego County.
Yeah, you fully have like spring breaker girls like getting wasted in bikinis and having a party on the beach, and then like just 30 minutes east is
getting
like
getting into
a clan rally or something insane.
Getting into a lifted truck to go to
with your boyfriend Daryl, who's like no good.
Oh my god. Yeah. Monster energy drink tattoo. I don't know.
Stop. Actually, that's it.
Do we have anything else to say about Magnolia Network before we like go over the designated time? Because I don't want to keep everyone here all night, but I'm like, we talked about everything, right? Is there any like last thoughts that you have?
We talked about all of these, yeah, terrible shows. I mean, like they're all like, you know, a little weird in the way that I think all like interior design HGTV shows are. Like the people have fake jobs and can afford like $2 million homes. You know, like the hosts are like the most insane people you've ever seen. You know, nothing really new. Nothing like really gripping to me. Like The Lost Kitchen was like fine.
Once again, I did love.
Mm-hmm. You know, they were talking to some of the people who managed to get a reservation there, and there was like, I just love, there was this very like millennial couple, and one of them said the word super epic date night. Loved that.
I will say one thing I've learned through the Magnolia Network is it's almost entirely millennials. Like if it's not millennials, it's the parents of the millennials hiring them to work on their projects at the same time. Like it's straight 30, 40 year olds exclusively.
When all of this is done, I'm going to make you all promise me that we're not going to talk about the Magnolia Network again, unless they kill somebody and, or they get like a Zoomer show. Like those are going to be our two like conditions for like talking about.
Oh, that's again. A good one.
How late absolutely. Are they? Are they on TikTok? How late are they going to be to TikTok if they're not on it already?
Oh, I God, hate so right. that you have just destroyed my entire evening. I hate that like you have ruined my night. You know, that's kind of, I think, a good place to end, because the longer I think about it, the more anxious that I'm getting that I didn't even think to look about if they're on TikTok or not.
Like, I'm googling it right. I'm googling. I'm on TikTok right now.
Schrodinger's and TikTok. If you look away, it doesn't exist anymore.
It's not real. It can't hurt you.
I don't think it's real. There's a Magnolia Network at on TikTok, but it's private with zero followers. And there's Magnolia Bakery, but that's the thing in New York.
Is there like a the Chip same. And Joanna TikTok?
Oh, that's a good. Oh, that's because even worse. That's the real Schrodinger's cat we can't open. I don't think so. I mean, to be honest, like, okay, I love TikTok so much. I have been Chip and Joe, and Emily goes Chip and Joanna against controversy, scandal, divorce.
Me.
If only.
But no, no account. It's just other people literally reposting.
I wrote
them, like, that's wild. I was
posting a Chip and Joanna like thing on TikTok, but no official accounts. So we live to we live to breathe another day. I can't even say it right. We're struggling here to survive.
Well, we'll be back next week with even more Magnolia. Do you have any last like comments you want to tell the viewers before we silence you again, Ashlyn, before you are locked in the void forever?
Yeah, just know I am in the background lurking, listening. I am always there. it was a pleasure and a horror, I guess, watching these shows. There's not much else I can say. I will see Chip and Joanna in hell.
Yeah, no, they will be in hell with us, unfortunately. Although I think we're going to confine them to like the first circle, you know, we'll be chilling out in like the fourth, maybe. Maybe
they're going to be like renovating the first circle. Yeah. Hell, it's been a few millennia.
Well, that's that, guys. I guess we don't, it's always discombobulating when we just record the Patreon episodes because I'm like not in the swing of like how we're supposed to this up. I'm like, well, that's this true. Is the part of the episode where we spin around in circles and die.
And with that,
I'm waiting for you, bitch. You tell them what to do. You're the man in the room.
Let's do the countdown.
I'm waiting. Count me down.
Okay. All right. Ashlyn, you ready?
Oh God, I don't even know if I know it. Like, I mean, I know it. I'm here all the time, but I just know.
Just go with the flow. Just say, just breathe if you don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, right. Just breathe through it.
Three, two, one. Good. Oh, fucked it up.
You.
Three.
Is what I'm saying. This is why we can't trust men to run the Lost Kitchen. This is why they hire women.
So true, bestie.
I'm locking you in the corner with the three name menaces.
Three, two, one. Hi.
My name is BB Rexa.
I'm in the studio doing something I've never done before. Terrible.
Wow. Okay. There is a slight delay between all of us. And so I was hearing all of you like doing the like harmony, you know, like it was giving very much Pussycat Dolls at the People's Choice Awards, right? Like everyone's on a different note. Like we're all there.
We're all singing a different song.
Love that. Goodbye.